And we just thank God this evening here in the month of October as we go into another Bible study. And for those who had chimed in the last time, the Lord had moved me to begin to teach on fivefold ministry, amen, and begin to give everybody foundation, amen. I don't know if somebody feeling they spirit right there, but it was a thing that we had to be foundations. And as everybody knows, our foundation scripture that supports it is Ephesians 4:11. However, in the previous teaching, I brought everybody to a revelation that you have to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, up to verse 11, and thereafter through at least 16 to get the full grasp of what fivefold ministry is about. Amen? And if I can recapitulate what we had brought to everybody's attention is that fivefold is not mainly about the offices. It's about them being giftings that God mantles on individuals, and the giftings as they are brought together to bring us more and more to looking like Christ, acting like Christ, and being like Christ. Amen. So some folks be getting it twisted. They be trying to worry about the title more so than the anointing and the gifting that is associated with it. Amen. So with that being said, this evening I want to get into, you know, as many say, the office, but I say the gifting and the anointing of the apostle. Amen. So with that being said, for those, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I like, you know, at least reading it and putting it in your hearing so it can resonate in your spirit. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, and for those that's got the notes with them, you can go right along with what I've given you right there at the top of the page. In Ephesians 4:11, the scripture says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. I want you to hold your finger there and turn over with me to 1 Corinthians, because I'm going to give you another scripture that also addresses these giftings, amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 through 29, the scripture says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you more excellent of a way. Amen. Now, with that being said, to begin to put everybody into the perspective and understanding of the mantling or the gifting of the apostle, the first thing that we got to address is, what is an apostle? Amen. So now, to summarize this in a nutshell, an apostle comes from, the word apostle comes from the Greek word apostelos. And apostelos means an ambassador or a messenger, or watch this, one who is sent, but also one who is sent to send. Amen. So now, I'm going to get a little bit more into this definition, but I want to make sure everybody's got this. It's one thing for an apostle or an apostelos to be one who is a messenger, but they are also, you have to understand this is yoked together, they are sent as a messenger. And in that, they bear within the gifting and the anointing that they walk in, the ability to send those that they're sent to. Did everybody catch that? Because, see, watch this. God operates and he sends messengers not to people to just get to give you a hoop and a holler. He sends people to come into your life in order to send you to do the same thing that they're doing for the kingdom. Did everybody hear what I'm saying there? So that with the anointing and the gifting of the apostle, it's not just for them to come to be a messenger to you, but they begin to speak to the seed within you and cause you to begin to move into your identity. Bottom line, they are meant to see the diamond in the rough. Sometimes folks' life look dirty as coal, but it has to be somebody else in the will of God that begins to see something within you that's godly to bring that thing out and cause you to move into it. Because, see, misery love company. Folks around the world that ain't doing nothing, and especially ain't doing nothing for the kingdom, are still going to cover you in a dark place and keep you in a place of obscurity where you're not seeing the light. But sometimes when your life is junky and dark, there's somebody that's going to come and speak something into your life to cause you to step out of that dark place and begin to get onto the path of righteousness. These are things that are associated with the anointing of the apostle. Amen? So now, still understanding this thing about an apostle, notice that I put they're also called to be foundation layers. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the scripture says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So watch this. The scripture says that the apostles are called in their identity as foundation layers. Because watch this, if anybody knows anything about the assignments or the giftings that are talked about in fivefold, especially, let me relate it to a prophet. Amen. Now, we haven't gotten into the teaching on the prophet, but watch this. The prophet, as we know, is the visionary. They can see things how God wants things to be done. Amen. However, if a visionary sees a house, I'm just going to keep this simple like Simon. If a visionary sees and says, hey, we're going to build a three-story house, if anybody knows anything about building, somebody has to establish the foundation to hold that house up. Amen. So God gives the anointing of the apostle to be one to say, hey, I can see what you see as a prophet, but let me show you how to make that thing stand. Amen. I'm not questioning the word of what God has given you, but I've been given foundation in order to substantiate what you are saying on behalf of God. So we've got to build this thing a little bit deep in order for this thing to be structured. Amen. Amen, amen. So now that we've got a basic idea of what the term apostle or what the apostle is, where does the foundation of apostles come from? Because now, you know, many in the world will draw the question, okay, you're giving me a term called apostles, but where did they come from? Where is that foundationalized? You know what I'm saying? Is it something that you done made up, or is it something that's realistic? Well, let's go to the scriptures. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Amen. In Luke, chapter 11, and we're looking at the 49th verse. Amen. In Luke 11:49, the scripture reads, and this is Jesus speaking for those that have a Bible with red print. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Now watch this. Jesus foundationalizes because he speaks on the Father's behalf and on his behalf, and he says there's going to be sent prophets and apostles. Notice he says this plurally, but now catch the drift here. Within all this, he already got disciples, or should we say apostles at this time with him, but he acknowledges that there's going to be some sent. So that means Jesus was not just talking about the ones on the scene with him. He was also talking about there'll be ones that will come after them. Did everybody catch that? Because some folks be tripping and twisting this thing, saying, well, the 12 apostles that Jesus called is the only one. And as we get down here in the notes, unfortunately, I'm going to unravel that theology as not being accurate. Amen. We're lining up with the word, but God is still sending apostles. God is still sending prophets. He's still sending pastors. He's still sending teachers because God is edifying the body or building the body through what you see through the anointings that people are walking in.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to another scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 9, he says, "For I think that God hath set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death." Okay, stop it right there. He says, God has set forth us apostles last, as it were appointed to death, or until everything is finished. He didn't say just for a season. He said until the appointed death. So that means there is going to be the existence of the anointing of the apostle that's going to continue even up until the point of death for an individual. Amen? For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and unto men. Now, also within the function of the apostle, they're meant to be a public show, meaning they're the representation of what God is all about. Ain't no shame in the game. You know what I'm saying? This ain't a Michael Jackson moment. This is a God moment. They meant to be in the forefront. That's why you'll hear sometimes when people talk about apostles, they'll call them trailblazers, because they mean they ain't got no shame in the game and they'll move forward with boldness regardless of folks like them, dislike them, like what they say, don't like what they say. Doesn't matter, because they are on assignment. They're on task. Let's still look again. Turn me to Ephesians chapter 2. This is a little deep too. All right, even though I've got referenced Ephesians 2:20, let's look at verse 19 first. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Meaning, all right, now I'm giving you some revelation, because you ain't strange to this game no more. This ain't something odd that you're about to hear. All right, so now it says, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," which is still tying with what I said as a foundational scripture here. You are being built because the apostles were the beginning of what God has established for you. Amen. If we're going to advance in the kingdom, it takes the anointing of the apostle to foundationalize where you're coming from. So now, that leads me to the next question. When is apostleship referenced in the Bible? Now, this is very interesting. Now, I'm going to reference it out of Matthew, but everybody knows when you look at the Gospels, all of them have parallel stories. So I'm just using Matthew here as a reference. It's not the only place. But when you turn to Matthew chapter 10, let's look at verse 1 and 2. And it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brothers." All right, now the chapter continues to go on and identify them. However, watch this. I want to bring something as a revelation to you. When they began to be first referenced, he addresses them as his disciples. And watch this. I'm trying to bring a point to you. At one time, you are his student. All right? But the mantling of the anointing comes after he's giving you power. Power, if we understand in the Greek, is dunamis, which means ability. So the thing is, even though he called them as disciples, what activates them operating as apostles is the fact of power being given to them, or them understanding and operating in ability. Amen? Now, what further encapsulates one under the anointing of the apostle is it becomes self-evident once they fulfill assignment that God has sent them on. I don't know if y'all hear what I'm saying right there. All right, we're going to bag this up, because look there in the next chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. I'm fixing to show you something that's very significant. Now, Matthew 11:1 and Mark 6:7 that I've referenced are really saying the same thing, but I want to show you something. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, let me kind of give y'all a little backup, because we're not covering all the scriptures within this setting. But at this time, Jesus is sending the disciples out. He tells them, don't take no script, don't take no coat, don't take no bag, just take yourself. Amen? Now, notice that when he's sending them, they are sent as disciples. Amen? But now watch. Turn over to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Or even before that, go to Mark 6, verse 7. Because I'm going to show you it's saying the same thing. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, the same story. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Everybody with me? Now watch this. When you turn over to the 30th verse, it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they left as disciples, but they came back as apostles. Did y'all catch that? Once he has given you power, or watch this, once you get the revelation of the power that you got in God, and you begin to move on the assignment that he gives you to do, you are actually walking out your credentialing of the anointing of the apostle. See, some people launch themselves out without the power. I don't know if anybody heard that. Some people have launched themselves out, you know what I'm saying, just because they got a word under their belt. They begin to launch out, but they ain't operating in the faith of the ability that was supposed to be given in them when they moved. Because maybe it wasn't God who called them into movement. But see, when somebody really hears God audibly, and then they begin to build the faith and begin to move on that power, then God equips them and credentializes them, and they come back operating in the identity that he sent them in. See, watch this. It's not the title that makes the person. It's the person that makes the title. Did everybody hear me right there? It's not the title that makes the person. It's the person that makes the title. The apostle is not one to sit here and say, okay, somebody mantle me as an apostle, then I'm going to go play one. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The apostle doesn't operate that way. The apostle only hears what God says and begins to move on the assignment, and then when they return from the assignment, their identity is already self-evident. See, don't think you're doing nobody no favor in the kingdom by giving them the title out of the fivefold. See, all you're doing is the fringe benefit of the anointing they already walk in. See, the world, man can't give what God has already given. What happens is man tries to catch up to what God has already done. So what happens is the apostle, you know, whether you call me one or not, I'm already happy and content with who I am in God because I know what he's called me to be. I don't need nobody as a cheering section to tell me who I am, but it becomes a fringe benefit when other folks in God have the ability to mantle my title that matches who I am.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So now, that brings the next question. Is apostleship foundationed on an identity of Christ? Why, yes, it is. Amen. Because still, look in there in Ephesians chapter 2. Once again, we've looked at this scripture about two times already, but we hit it the third time. And it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, meaning he's the chief corner piece or the extreme or senior apostle. Did y'all catch that? Because if it says you're being built on the apostles, you're being built on the prophets, the scripture is really telling you Jesus is the chief apostle or chief prophet, which means he's the senior. That means he's the extreme, the utmost. He's the foundation of it all. Did everybody catch that? Now, what's still deep about that is the fact when he is called the chief. Chief comes from the Greek word akrogonias, which means extreme, foundation, or senior. But see, that word has a root word at the beginning called akron, which means the uttermost in both heaven and earth. So watch this. Don't get it twisted. Just because he called and became the chief apostle don't mean he's the chief one just here. He's the chief one in the heavens as well. Meaning he pulls heaven and earth together in the identity that he walks in that makes him senior in chief. Everybody got it? All right, so now that brings us to say, are the 12 apostles Jesus appointed in the Gospels the only authentic apostles? Now, y'all know for us as full gospel believers, you know, that's been one that's deep, that has run to and fro around many churches. Once again, though, now I'm going to address this thing. No, the 12 that Jesus chose are not the only ones. Let's look at the first factor that would diffuse that. When you look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 25 through 26, if you are a Bible reader, you remember Judas hung himself. And Peter and the rest of the apostles chose another to replace him. All right, now Jesus had already walked in the flesh, died on the cross. Y'all feeling what I'm saying? So now, Jesus wasn't physically there in the camp when they was praying and seeking the Holy Spirit to choose Judas's replacement. So that's one account that Jesus didn't physically choose him as one of the 12. Amen? Now, second point to bag up that apostles are still going on outside of the 12 that were the original is with Paul. Paul was appointed an apostle way after the original 12. When y'all turn to 1 Corinthians 1:1, 1 Corinthians 9:1, those reference Paul's calling to the apostleship. Amen? Now, let me even take this thing a step deeper. Because some people, when they begin to talk about apostleship and say it's limited to the original 12, they begin to say that those 12 were Jewish in background. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying? Like them Hebrew boys, they just want to say, hey, well, how you going to be one, and you ain't no Hebrew, you ain't no Jew, and so forth. Okay, now watch this. Paul wasn't either. Turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. In Romans chapter 11. Okay. All right, in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, the scripture reads, and this is Paul, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Did y'all catch that? Paul not only said he was an apostle, but he said he was an apostle of the Gentiles, meaning he came from the Gentiles. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So now, anybody that comes into fellowship that was outside of fellowship with Christ is called a Gentile. Because that's the reason that the apostles and all the men of God and women of God of the New Testament came to folks outside of the Jews to engraft you into relationship with the Lord, because you was not a Jew. So that means you a Gentile. So be it that is the case, I'm trying to bring to your attention that of a revelation that apostleship wasn't just exclusive to the Jews. Apostleship extends even to the Gentiles to be called to walk into the anointing that God has for them. Amen? Now, that leads me to the next point that I want to bring. y'all hear that? Is apostleship doctrinal? And I give you the answer, yes, it is. And believe it or not, it's actually the only doctrinal movement of faith or mantling referenced by Scripture. But don't take my word for it. Turn with me to the book of Acts. You know, now, I ain't kicking everybody's faith. Please hear me. I'm not kicking everybody's faith. I'm just giving you what the word has. So if anybody's asking, well, is the apostolic or apostleship and all that doctrinal? Why, yes, it is. In Acts chapter 2, verse 43, the scripture reads, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Amen. Everybody get that? Look at verse 42. Let me back up. I read 43. Look at 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." So the word said right there that the movement of the church, per se, when we talk about the book of Acts, it said they continued without ceasing in the doctrine of the apostles, which doctrine of apostles is what the word apostolic means. It is the apostles' doctrine. Is the only, if we want to say, movement of faith that you can really find scripturally based. Now, I ain't kicking people saying they Baptists and so forth, but, you know, we pull that from John the Baptist. You know, people pull many different things, but I'm just telling you by scripture what can be bagged up by the word, where everybody can look at it in black and white, is just saying that they continued in the doctrine of the apostles. Amen. Now, let me make sure I clear this point up as well when we talk about the doctrine of the apostles or the apostolic, because worldly folks begin to get this thing twisted. They be thinking that when somebody is apostolic, they think that is a denomination. And what I want to clear up to you, apostolic is really not a denomination. The world categorizes it as a denomination, but it's really not. It's a mantling or an anointing that you're associated with. Everybody get that? Once again, apostolic is just the anointing of the apostle that has come upon you. It's not a denomination. It's just the world wants to categorize that, just like they talk Church of Christ or Church of God in Christ or Catholic, etc. So I want to make sure that's clear. It has nothing to do with the denomination. It has to do with the mantling or the anointing that you bear on your life. Everybody got it? All right, so now, that brings me to the next point. Can there still be apostles in the earth realm even as of today? And once again, the answer is yes, because Jesus made the statement which we read here earlier in the book of Luke about sending apostles and sending prophets. He taught plural. All right? Paul also, once again, does the same thing in Ephesians 4:11. Because remember, Jesus now is not physically on the scene anymore, and Paul has the revelation about fivefold ministry, and he says some apostles are given. So he's talking his present and his future. Remember, everything that comes forth from the mouth of God is not about your past. It speaks into your present and your future. So now, all of this note is in reference in the time of apostles being chosen by Christ and thereafter. Amen? Now, that brings to the next point, okay? If apostles are legal here in the earth realm, is there some false ones? And I'm finna say, show you right. Just as much as there's legitimate ones, there's false ones. Amen? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Matter of fact, let me back up to verse 12, amen? And it says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasions from them which desire occasions, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. All right, now, I want to bring something to y'all's attention, which is really proper application of a scripture. Note there that it says there are false apostles that are workers of deceitfulness. Amen? Because really they're trying to make a show of themselves. In the previous verse, it's saying, I'm really trying to make myself of some prestige. Amen? But now watch this. Here's where a verse that we always use, and you know, sometimes it's used out of context when we throw it around in the church. When we say, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. All right, now, what is happening there is that verse about Satan being transformed into an angel of light is talking about those who are operating falsely or deceitfully in offices of apostles before people with wrong intent.
Wow.
Did y'all catch that? Because, see, watch this. Even when we talk about the book of Revelations, when it came to the seven churches, the books were addressed to the angels over the churches. I'm fixing to give y'all some revelation here. It was addressed to the angels over the churches. Well, spiritual angels that operate with God ain't pastoring over no churches. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So the angels that are referenced are the pastors or the apostles or those cornerstones that are in charge of the churches when John is given the revelation of the book of Revelation. So now, understand, put this back in the correct context. For those that are operating or call themselves to be apostles that are doing deceitfulness, they are as Satan transforming themselves into be apostles because they're using God's word in order to advance their evil, deceitful intent. Everybody get that? So now, leads me to the next one. Is there any significant purpose in still having apostles? Once again, the answer is yes. Amen? Because watch this. One of the significant things about apostle still being here in the earth realm is because it connects to the grace that you operate in. Okay, don't take my word for it. We're going to turn to it. Look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, amen, and we're looking at verse 33, it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, it says great grace. For those that don't know about grace, let me give you a prophetic nugget right there. You know, we think grace, from what we've been taught in the church, is about grace as just unmerited favor. Amen? But the word grace comes from the Greek word charis, which means divine influence. So watch this. The grace that they walk under is the fact that they let themselves become possessed by God. Did y'all hear what I said? See, y'all have to understand, in this realm, you being possessed by one thing or the other. Either you being possessed by God or you being possessed by the devil. I remember Samuel said, you know, disobedience as to be under witchcraft. All right, so that means there's some kind of spell that you're under at one time or another. And see, if you are one that believe in the gospel, understand gospel means God's spell. So as long as you're under the God's spell, then that means God can possess you and place you under grace. The apostle just has no limitation of staying within the grace of God and operating in that and allowing that grace to transfer to anybody they come in contact with. Because, see, the words that they speak, remember I said they look at the diamond within the rough, and what is it that allows them to bring you out of that dark place other than the grace that they're walking in to pull you and connect with you and pull you into grace as well? Because the main thing is for you to become possessed by God just like they are.
That's right.
Amen. Turn with me to Romans 1. Let me show you something else. In Romans 1, I want to look at verse 4 and 5, and this is in reference to Jesus Christ. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Okay, are y'all catching this? It says, really, by Jesus Christ, you received grace and apostleship. Okay, if I receive something, then doesn't that mean it was given to me as a gift? I'm just reiterating, giving y'all foundation. Fivefold is about giftings that are given you more than what everybody has twisted it to be. So he says, be it through Jesus Christ, you have been given grace, which is divine influence, that operates and brings your identity of the gift of the apostleship that you have within. Did everybody catch that? So now, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Okay, so he says, I've given you divine influence, and I've given you the gifting of apostleship, and it came to you for obedience. Didn't I just bring to y'all remembrance about Samuel? Samuel said disobedience is as operating in witchcraft, meaning you possess in the wrong spirit. But if you are in obedience, he says, then you get the gift of divine influence, which means me possessing you, called grace, and I operate you in apostleship, which means I bring you into boldness as to what you do. So then he turns around and he says, among all nations for his name's sake. So he says, I'm going to even do this to you, basically, as a Gentile. Because he said, among all nations. Remember, nations pluralizes Gentile, which means those who ain't in relationship. And he says, I do this for my name. Okay, let me roll that back. Remember, name in the Greek means character, which character associates with the Holy Spirit. Did I lose anybody there? So apostleship yokes itself to grace. And then he says, I give it to you in a messy place with messy folks that ain't in relationship with me just because you got my Holy Spirit. Everybody good on that? Okay, now, let me throw another one at y'all. Turn with me to Acts 5. See, as I'm getting into these, everybody will also understand that apostles ain't just around just to be walking in title and gifting. There's some responsibility and some things that go along with their purpose. Amen? Acts 5:12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Then it says, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Okay, so now, by that, the scripture says, signs and wonders manifest from the apostles. everybody another level of revelation that has not been heard for generation to generation, other than fulfillment of the scripture of the signs and wonders of things that you've never heard within your spirit. But yet you can find self-evidently that your spirit agreed with the revelation given. And watch this. I want to make sure y'all don't get this twisted either. Even when it comes to signs and wonders, that wasn't necessarily for the believer. Signs and wonders were only meant for non-believers because they were sent to bring people who weren't in relationship into relationship. Remember, kingdom folks supposed to live in revelation, not manifestation.
Okay.
If you're real within the kingdom, you ain't got to see no sign and wonder. God said it is, so it is. So I don't need nothing else true. For me, if God say it's going to happen, I'm like, hey, God, I give you daps. I give you high five because I know it's going to happen. See, non-believers are the ones from Missouri, the show me state. They always got to see it to believe it. So God just operates through the anointing of the apostle to let them see it in order to bring them into deliverance where they don't need to see it to believe it. Y'all remember the words say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The apostle just operates in faith.
Amen.
Did I lose anybody? Amen. All right, so, still in the book of Acts, turn over to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 18, about the apostle. And when Simon saw through the laying on of hands of apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. Now, Simon was a non-believer, and Brooke tried to buy it. What I'm telling y'all, what the apostles got ain't for sale. Because once again, as I said before, what they carry is a gift. It's an anointing or mantling that comes on them. So, notice that it says, with the apostles laying on of hands, people received the Holy Spirit. Now, can I take that a little bit deeper prophetically for folks to understand? Laying on of hands doesn't just limit itself to physically laying on of hands. Amen? Because y'all know, if somebody annoys you, they don't have to touch you, and you still said they touched you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So in the same term with the laying on the hands, the apostles' anointing and giving of the Holy Spirit ain't just limited to physical hands being laid onto you. It's the thing of them being in your presence and being able to touch you, even spiritually, in order for you to receive. So a lot of people don't receive the Holy Spirit because they don't receive the apostle in their presence. Come on, did somebody hear what I said right there? Some people miss the movement of the Holy Spirit because they have not understood that the presence of the anointing or the gifting that somebody operates in, once they get into their presence, they try to receive it. But if they already got a mindset up or blockade up that somebody ain't who they say they are in God, they done already missed the moment. They done already missed the anointing that they could have had received from that individual. Amen. Now, another point, and we already touched there in Corinthians, but the apostles not only are the spectacle or the front men or the trailblazers, they're put out to be an example of God throughout all struggle. Because, see, watch this. The majority of folks that try to get a relationship with God or even listening to see if they want to belong to God, notice that the reason they're seeking God out is because they're trying to get their relationship with Him, but they're not sure because of the struggles that they got going on in their life. Okay, so now, most folks got to see somebody else make it before they try to make it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's easy for a person that's got a weight problem to say, I want to lose weight. But what motivates them to lose it other than seeing somebody that's already achieved it? also, the apostle is under the anointing that they can take the heat. They can take the struggle of what the world has to give, and they still stand strong and still got the word of God coming out of their mouth. They ain't going to be punked out and backslide and kick back and say, well, I can't handle this no more. They ain't going to be sitting here saying, I'm going to put down my title or my anointing. They're going to say, even though the heat is getting hot in the kitchen, I'm fixing to stand in there like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and see which one burns out first, me or the fire. And 9 times out of 10, Christ is going to stand in the midst with you, and the fire go out before you will. So now, if somebody is under that anointing, they can take the pressure, they can take the heat, then what happens is, this is what causes folks that are out of relationship to come in. The anointing is something heavy, because, you know, a lot of people will say they done backslid one day and then they come back into relationship another. But see, the apostle can't afford it. We can't afford it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, in the same turn, another thing that is significant into the purpose of the apostle is the fact that the apostle gets revelation, raw revelation from God. That's my scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Start looking at actually verse 3 through verse 5. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? I'm sorry, I'm reading from Galatians. I'm sorry. Ephesians 3. Alright, verse 3 of Ephesians 3. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So God says, even in his own word, that the apostles and the prophets are the ones he's given holy, divine revelation that even the folks of old didn't get. So that tells me there needs to be some apostles now if I didn't believe it before, because I need to get in where I can fit in and get some real raw revelation. It's one thing to go through the motions of receiving the word, but God is saying there's some revelation that's hidden within. You know, when you turn to Deuteronomy 29:29, it says the mysteries of God are for God, but those revealed to you are for you and your generations to be the keepers or the doers of these laws. So God says, when I reveal revelation to you, then I see you as me. Because it said the mysteries of God are for God. He don't give mysteries to anybody and everybody. That's just like the military. They only going to keep top secret information to the generals and key folks to pass it on to those that need to know. That's why we call stuff under security. So God puts things under security and say, hey, I've got some secret things, but there's only some key folks that I'm going to reveal it to. And if you want to be on the in crowd and get some stuff, then it requires the apostles and the prophets to be operating in your life now. Amen. So now, let's begin to look at some of the attributes here quickly regarding apostles. All right. The first one, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1 and 2, it begins to bring the attributes as Paul defines where his apostleship comes from. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, verse 1 or 2, and it says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So that Paul turns around and says, you seal me being who I am. So if you seal me as to who I am, then maybe I seal you as to who you are. Everybody catch that? Now, next point. Can't be no apostle if you ain't sit and listen to Jesus. Okay, everybody silent there. Turn to Luke 6. And that's a deep thing for somebody to run around and say they an apostle. And then they ain't got no Jesus. It sounds funny, but, you know, that's the world we live in today. Verse 13 in chapter 6 of Luke, it says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. All right? So if he named them, watch this. Remember, I just gave you a revelation reminding you what name means in Greek, means character. So he chose disciples, but he gave them the characteristics of being apostles. Did y'all get that? Because remember, when you read Ephesians 4 in its completeness, the apostleship is only a characteristic of Jesus himself. So he gave them part of his characteristic. Amen? Now, of course, with that attribute goes without question, they're going to be ministers. Because that means they're going to go out and preach the gospel, amen? So now, that's bagged up in 1 Timothy 2:7 and 2 Timothy 1:11. Amen? That they've been called to be ministers, amen? Now, next thing that's key is that they are servants. All right, now I don't mean to rain on some folks' parade, because some folks get it twisted once they under the title of the anointing of the apostle that they can't be they can't serve nobody. You have to understand how can an apostle be served unless they serve themselves? Everybody catch that? Because remember, Jesus was the chief apostle. If you remember when they were in the upper room, Jesus humbled himself and served them as a chief apostle. So, nobody can get this thing once they begin to operate in the giftings that God gives them, especially the gifting of the apostle, that they can't get that thing twisted, that they can no longer serve. Because the utmost thing, when we talk about being a minister, the definition of minister, diakonos in Greek, means servant. So, the giftings that we walk into does not disqualify service. Everybody catch that? Giftings, mantlings, does not disqualify the responsibility of serving. Those things hover around or tie themselves to being a servant. Everybody get it? I'm going to touch this thing briefly because I know we're running out of time. Amen. But here's some things I'm fixing to hit on this thing about seniority of apostleship. Because some people have asked this. Is there seniority? Yes. Seniority, when we talk about apostles, is usually hinging on those being called chief apostles. All right? Now, when we talk chief apostles, if I put that in today's terminology for everybody to grasp, that's where we come with the bishopry. Amen? Because a bishop is a chief apostle. Everybody get this? It's a chief apostle. All right, first let's look at these scriptures right quick. Turn to 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. All right. It says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. Okay. Now hold that. Look at chapter 12, very next chapter, verse 11. full in glorying, ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Okay, so now, what I want to bring to your attention is the fact, notice that the scripture references chief apostles. Amen? Now, chief apostles yokes itself to bishop because, watch this, the word bishop, especially when you go back and look at Titus 1:7, 1 Timothy 3:1 and 2, when it talks about the office of the bishop, amen, 1 Peter 2:25, the thing is, the word bishop comes from the Greek word episkopos, which means overseer or guardian, amen, or one who looks after, okay? But now watch this. The first part of that word, epi, means upon or over, means something that comes up on you. But here's the deep thing that everybody got to understand. What makes a bishop a chief apostle is the fact that they can oversee the fivefold because they operate in it themselves.
Amen.
I can't be a bishop over an apostle or a prophet unless I operate in the same thing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's like you becoming the chief of police and you never was a police officer. You cannot be in an office of authority over something that you've never done. That's just like somebody preaching to you and trying to deliver you in things that they've never been delivered in. You know what I'm saying? They can only do it to some degree, but then there's some degree of that you say, well, I ain't feeling it because they ain't never been there. So a bishop has to have been an apostle because they've operated in all the giftings, and now they know how to oversee and manage it so that the person operating or moving into those giftings or anointings in the house don't end up hurting themselves using them incorrectly.
Amen.
Did everybody catch that?
Yes.
Because some people believe that thing reverse. You know, I ain't kicking some people's face. Some people believe you become a bishop before you become an apostle. And that, you know, to each his own, however, that doesn't line up with the word. Because as the record states, all of the apostles Jesus chose ended up being bishops as the last record. But Jesus didn't appoint them as no bishop before they became apostles. Back that up, even Judas was a bishop. When you turn into the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 20, after Judas hung himself, Peter said out of his own mouth, his bishopric must be passed to another. That was when they were choosing Matthias. So we all know by the Gospels, Jesus moved him from being disciples to apostles, but as the records state, even to this day, even for Rome, they recognized Peter as a bishop, because that's the last office, because as they started churches and they laid hands and left leadership, they had the responsibility of being overseers or managing and going back at places where they started ministry and called people into their identities of the giftings of God, which is why they bear the title of bishop. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I will stop it there.